everyone. My name is Yashna.
And I'm Kalpana.
Welcome to the Worth of Our Opinion podcast.
We are Indian postgrads in psychology, one among those that actually can't read your mind. We share our experiences and conflicts of the world, the other, and the self. Now, our content is not limited to the field that we're studying. We value listening with the intention to understand, and on this podcast, we share perspectives in a real, meaningful, and simple way.
But before we begin, a little disclaimer. We are going to be talking about so many topics on this podcast, and when we're talking about them, when we're in that zone of flow, we may not be aware of the generalizations we may be making at that moment. We believe that there are exceptions that exist for everything, and we would like to take full responsibility for all that we share and speak about.
So, hello everyone. Hope you all are having a great week. And Yashna and I are pretty excited to be recording this episode, partly because this is going to be a monthly series. This is essentially a series where we talk about certain books that really inspire us. Our intention with this series is to give you a little bit of a summary on what it is, what our key takeaways are from the books, so that you don't have to read them yourselves. And it's going to be a little easy, or you could actually gauge your interest and see if you're actually interested in reading these books, making it easier for you. Yashna, come on, take the lead. What's the book for the month today?
Today, we're going to be talking about How to Read a Person Like a Book. The authors are Gerald I. Nirenberg and Henry H. Calero. Mm-hmm. This book is basically about non-verbal communication. This is a book that I stole from my father's book collection. I'll be reading from the book itself, and this is what's written on the back cover of the book. It says that this illustrated no-nonsense manual by two experts in the field of negotiation shows you how to spot the hidden social, sexual, and emotional messages that we all send to each other with our bodies. And they also go on to say, find out how to detect and send messages of friendliness and flirtation. Keep the upper hand in arguments and negotiations. Tell whether the person you're talking to is lying. Recognize and overcome boredom and defensiveness. And succeed in many other delicate situations. This book is very comprehensive. And there are a lot of pages in this book. When you'll be reading this, if you're reading this ever, you'll find a lot of sections of the book quite obvious. There are a few situations where I felt that the book was a little dated. For example, they talk about telephones with wires. I mean, nobody has telephone with wires anymore. And they're talking about viewing galleries in airports, which we don't have anymore.
I guess that's why it's relevant to do a review on this now, so that, you know, we get the key takeaways that we could actually be relevant in our time today.
Exactly. So what this book is, essentially, it is a guide to improve your ability to communicate with one another. And I don't know if we are ever going to be able to explain to someone how important communication is unless they you know, do it themselves and they experience it themselves. So the other thing that the book tries to do, it tries to decode non-verbal signals that we're sending to each other. We try to understand how to gain command of a situation, and I don't mean in a demeaning way to the other person, but just being in control of how you're speaking, what the other person is speaking, and how you're responding to what they're saying. This book also tries to explain how important body language is. The other thing that this book tries to do is it tries to explain the subtle movements that we do when we're having a conversation with someone. Say something like a nose scratch or a chin rub or like folded arms, folded legs, crossed legs, and the importance that these subtle movements have in our conversations. The book also tries to, you know, explain that in detail. These authors are experts in the field of negotiations. They've done a lot of detailed research work, and that's how they've, you know, come up with this book. And that's something that I really appreciate, that the amount of research that they put in and the amount of detailed descriptions that they've given, it's mind-blowing.
I think that makes it like more credible as you know, okay, you should read it. Like, you know, as you said, that there's so many things that are really apparent.
Yeah.
But it's different when you know that there's research behind it and it's not just plain common sense.
Exactly. it is written in a very straightforward manner. Any layman can understand it. It's that simple. So there are, I think, about 4 to 5 important key takeaways that I found interesting that I think that the listeners of our podcast will also find interesting. One is attention to others and listen to others. This is a concept that they try explaining in the book as well. It's about how you're supposed to be aware of the situation, how you need to pay attention to what that person is saying. And I don't mean just, you know, listening to them. This is where you can have a reality check with yourself, saying, are you listening to listen or are you listening to respond? So this is where you pay attention to yourself. When it comes to paying attention to others and when it comes to paying attention to ourselves in social situations, how much of an emphasis are we giving on body language here?
Are you saying, just to paraphrase with my understanding, are you saying that there lies a stark difference between listening to defend and listening with absorbency?
Exactly. This is where, this is one among the skills that we as counselors should also learn. And that's basically empathetic listening. And I'm not telling everyone to be, you know, a counselor, and I'm not telling everyone to be someone who's always an empathetic listener. And sometimes that's not practically possible as well. So it depends on the situation that you're in. And it also depends on how empathetic the other person is. Again, this goes back to, are they listening to listen or are they listening to defend? And if they're listening to defend, then there is no proper communication happening, and then you will not be talking to them about something substantial or credible.
Yeah.
You're not going to get that back as well for your points you're putting forward. And it goes the same way with the other person as well, because now you're irritated. You don't want to listen to what they're saying. So you're not going to pay attention to what the opposite person is also telling. So this is where the whole body language perspective comes in. How are their hands? Where are their hands? Are they biting their nails? Are they rubbing their nose? Are they rubbing their chins? Are they scratching their head? Are they pacing fast as you're talking to them? All these situations, you just have to look at what they're doing in that situation. And that will help you understand how well they're listening to you, how well they're paying attention to what you're saying, and are they really paying attention. So off the top of my head, there was this TED Talk that I, you know, watched, and I don't remember the title of the video or the name of the person who was talking. And they were talking about how when people say that you're supposed to listen with, you know, you have to keep nodding your head and you have to keep staring into their eyes and things like that. She just brings out the point that you don't have to do these movements if you're actually listening to them.
Yeah.
You don't have to shake your head and you don't have to keep doing that. If you're actually listening to them, you're probably listening to them properly. So,
Oh my God, I so relate to this, because there's something I wanted to bring up anyway.
Yeah.
That, you know, I know someone who I'll be talking to them about something serious and they'll be looking away. They'll be blinking, looking away, and they'll nod their head. These actions, right, that, you know, books mention, okay, how do you tell someone that you listen to them? It's completely futile if you're genuinely not present.
Exactly.
The importance of something like that is so underrated, because, you know, listening is something that people feel. You don't have to superficially show it. They'll automatically know it.
Exactly.
If you're genuinely listening.
Exactly. Here's a question for you. Do you think that there is a particular gesture that has only one meaning? Or do you think gestures in general have more than one meaning?
I think gestures in general have more than one meaning, depending on the context.
Right.
So the act of crossing your arms, right? It can mean confidence. It can mean assertion. It can also mean disinterest. It can also mean being closed. So again, in the context of being present for people, it's advised that, you know, not crossing your arms and having an open posture with your arms to the side, or having a broad, like, open chest, you know, it kind of shows that you're open, present to people. Whereas if you were to close your arms and cross your arms, it would come off as you not wanting to be approached and you not wanting to receive. And so that means somewhat disconnecting in one context, but in the context of, like, you know, power poses and, you know, just showing power and showing confidence, you know, crossing your arms is denoted as that. So I agree on the latter, that different gestures mean different depending on the context.
Right. I completely agree as well. If you feel confident, you're probably going to exhibit confidence. So I don't feel like there is one particular gesture that has only one particular meaning.
Are you saying that it comes more so from your intention and your state?
Yes. Intention, state, how you feel in that situation. I'll give you an example. Today, I'm a little slouchy. I'm a little bent towards inside. I'm holding myself by, you know, coming closer to my body. And I'm only doing that because of the state of mind that I am in today. Say tomorrow or the next week when we're shooting another podcast, recording another podcast, I'm not going to probably sit on the floor with my legs folded or me lying down on the floor. I'm probably just going to sit on my desk like I normally do. Mm. It depends on the mood that you're in. It depends on the situation that you're in. It depends on how you're feeling that day.
Yeah, Yashna's starfish in today.
Yeah, so I agree. I agree that, you know, there's no one particular gesture which has one particular meaning. And I'd post this question to the listeners as well. If you feel like there is one gesture that has only one meaning, please let us know so we can, you know, have a conversation about that as well. And okay, so this is where Kalpana is going to go on and on about, but I don't know if she will this episode. But this is something that we've already spoken about in one of our long phone calls. This is something that was there in the book as well. Extreme bluntness. What? She's just already laughing. Okay. What do you think about extreme bluntness? And do you think it's advisable that people are blunt? Or do you think it hinders what you actually want to say in the first place?
I'm not going to get on this too in detail because I know this is a topic for a whole other podcast, but I definitely believe there's a difference between bluntness and honesty.
Right.
And the concept of taking responsibility for what you say matters so much to me. By me being honest, I'm not compromising on what I want to tell you.
Right.
But I'm also considerate that my opinions are tainted with how I experience things. And your experiences may be different.
Right.
Right? So when it comes to me saying, your presentation was boring, I didn't like it, is different from saying, I would have liked more color in your presentation. I felt bored when I saw your presentation.
Taking the onus on you.
Yeah. I'm not saying that your presentation is this, you are that. I'm saying, I felt this, I would have liked more of this.
Right.
We need to be responsible for what we're saying.
Right.
Understanding that my opinions are this. However, there may be parts of another person that I'm not aware of. So by me labeling this person as, okay, the presentation that he did was boring, right? Is putting it on the other person, where person X may have actually liked this person's presentation. So by me taking responsibility that I felt bored, maybe someone else might have liked it, but for me personally, this is how I felt. And I would have liked more of this. So that's my stance on being blunt. And right. I think when you're blunt and extreme bluntness, I think
it shows little compassion.
Yeah, like it shows very, very, very little compassion, if not any compassion. So I think that's my stance on extreme bluntness. You can be honest without hurting someone.
Yes.
You won't compromise on what you want to say, and you can do that without hurting someone. So yeah, that's my stance.
Yeah, so extreme bluntness can also mean that if someone is extremely blunt to someone else, the second person in the conversation is going to lose some level of respect for person A. So the extreme bluntness is often related to loss of respect when it comes to conversation. And that's something that I thought would be interesting.
It's very interesting.
Yes. Again, another question. Do you think, number one, body language is important? And number two, how much of an importance you personally as Kalpana place on body language?
Okay, the first question, I think it's quite obvious. I don't even know why I'm explicitly saying it. For me, obviously it is. And for me as someone who's expressive with her, you know, body gestures, that sounded wrong. But her presence is a physical being. I don't know, dude, what the hell? So obviously it matters to me a lot. I think in any kind of social context, there is a lot on what our body tells us that we are not even aware of when we verbally share.
Right.
You know, and this is something that, you know, we've learned in counseling too. Like, you know, you need to understand what the client is saying and what the client is not saying, but is expressing through his or her body. Yes. So that is like, that's obviously, to answer your first question, it goes without saying that body language is important. And second, how much does it play in my life? The biggest gesture that matters to me when I'm talking to someone is eye contact.
Right.
You know, okay. There are many other things like, okay, some people would like having an open posture. Some people like it when people lean forward. And like some people like it when you're facing them. For me, what matters most is just the eye contact. And obviously, all of those other things matter to me too. But if someone does not maintain eye contact when I'm sharing something, I immediately can't talk anymore.
Because you feel like there's a level of disinterest there.
Yeah, level of disinterest. And also, okay, am I taking up too much time and space? Am I doing this? I should shut up.
Okay.
You know? So the role of that eye contact has to play in my life is a lot. Eye contact is
makes or breaks the conversation.
Yeah. I mean, so if anyone, and I think this applies for anyone, if you're not looking at the person, no matter how many times you say, I'm listening, it's never going to be that convincing.
Right.
Going back to the beautiful point that Yashna made that, you know, if you're genuinely listening to someone, the person will automatically know.
Yeah. And anyone who asks the question, you know, how to listen to someone just by listening to them. Simple as that.
Yeah, just listen.
There is no head shake. There is no leaning forward. There is no staring into the other person's eye. You're exactly. Just going to creep the person out. And they're probably just going to be like, am I doing something wrong that they're looking at me this way?
And sometimes people who are also listening, sometimes I've come across people who kind of overdo it with the eye contact.
Yes.
Overdo it with the even the head nodding to show their immense interest. And you know, and I want to say that these people have a gentle orientation. Like you see the gentleness in them, right?
Yeah.
And you see the love in their heart that they want to be there to listen to whatever you have to say, whether it's personal or not, that doesn't matter. Yeah. But just having that empathetic presence,
right?
Sometimes they have that intention, plus they overdo the body language.
Yeah.
So it's not that they're not listening. They are listening. You can feel the presence, but you can see that they're overdoing it with the body language. And I'm feeling like I'm listened to more when people have a calm disposition. In the sense, they don't do anything. They're just looking at you and then nodding just very slightly, very slightly. Yeah. Basically, I mean, you don't need to do any of these body postures consciously, like, and just staying still, you know, even physically staying still naturally is what I realize is really important, you know, and yeah, at least to me, like you can see that people are listening to, they don't do anything. All they do is look at you and they just like take it in. You can see that they're listening with absorbency, to absorb and not to give back, not to say anything, but just to receive and to receive and to receive. That's the best. You know, I mean, I hope, like, I mean, it would be my life's achievement if I could start listening with absorbency more than I do now. But like, yeah.
Right. When you were talking about the overdoing of the head nods, it is not natural to look at someone who's nodding their head. I also want to bring this point out. It's natural to look at the person who's nodding their head, who's being more attentive, especially if you're standing in front of a class of, you know, say 60 or 70 students, and there's three people who are nodding. You're probably going to look at those three people and you're not going to look at everyone else in the classroom. Because
I guess naturally, because like those are the only indications that show that people are listening.
Exactly. Yeah. From a presenter's point of view. Not from like a one-on-one conversation.
Yeah.
When you're in a presentation, I feel like there's more tendency to look at people who are, you know, making eye contact, looking at you, nodding, and, you know, saying the hmms, the yas, and the things. Yeah.
Yeah, bro. I've noticed this. Like, I mean, I've had a couple of friends and they would present. They would only look at me because was I the only one showing keen interest? I'm like, dude, that's sad.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, there was a lot of pressure for me to like, okay, why is she only looking at me?
Yeah, that's the other barrier that comes with if you keep nodding your head. Say suddenly you stop nodding your head. The person who's presenting or the person who's talking to you, they're like, is she losing interest in the conversation?
Oh, yeah. The key is to not build expectations at all.
Exactly. And how long will you keep nodding your head? Say you're having a 45-minute conversation. All the 45 minutes are you nodding your head. You'll probably strain your back and your neck and your chin, but you're probably going to get some exercise done. But still, yeah, I feel like, you know, overdoing it has a lot of pressure. That's unnecessary. When it comes to me personally, if someone's overdoing their head nods, I don't feel like they're actually listening. I think they're more interested in doing the head nods and, you know, making eye contact than they are of actually listening.
Yes. Yes. Oh my God. And this is exactly why, like, we keep emphasizing that your presence is all that matters.
Exactly.
And we, as much as we're social beings, we're all also like more than that. You know, and we can sense these vibes that we get from people, you know, like that's where passive aggression came from. Yo.
Exactly.
So we can tell, you know what, like all these gestures matter, but they don't really matter.
Exactly. So this brings me to my last point of this podcast. And it speaks about how body language, this is coming from my personal experience. And I feel like body language is either undervalued or overvalued. There is no right balance that people strike with body language and the conversation that they're, you know, talking and, you know, maintaining a decent conversation. And this is where I feel like 90% or maybe more, I think 95% of the people are either undervaluing body language or they're overvaluing body language. And if you're overvaluing body language, it has their own,
pros and cons.
Yeah. If you're overvaluing body language, it has their own pros and cons. And it's the same with the undervaluation as well. You're not bothered about the conversation. You're probably going to give out the vibe of, I don't care. Why are we having this conversation? So I also feel that body language cannot be fully trusted. Just like Kalpana said, you can't fully trust body language. You don't really look at the other person if you're actually paying attention to your body language.
Yeah.
And that's where you need to, you know, strike the balance of, you know, actually listening to them.
Yeah.
Listening to them is the priority, not the body language. So they place more emphasis on their body language, that they don't, okay, I need to sit up straight. I need to, you know, make eye contact and stare at her. I need to nod. And when you're doing this, you're probably not going to listen to what Kalpana is actually saying. Or you're not listening to what I'm saying, or, you know, any person in the conversation is saying. Also, when it comes to first impressions, I feel like first impressions cannot be trusted. And I feel like they're a total wrong interpretation of who the person is, what they are, and how they actually are. Because anyone can fake a first impression.
True. To add, the last third thing, I haven't read the book. But to add the one last thing regarding facial expressions, when you listen, in any situation, honestly, when we overdo facial expressions of concern, it's very, I am so put off by it because it's like you're pitying, you know? You know, like, I mean, Yashna's looking at my face. Obviously, you guys can't see my face, but
so
being
sad.
Like, oh, no. That's so sad. Oh my God.
Even though it's coming from a good place from that person, I can't relate to sympathy.
Yeah. Bro, like, I mean, even if you do have sympathy for me, that's okay because I can't expect everyone to have empathy. But showing that through your face is what I have a problem with. Even if someone verbally expresses sympathy, being like, listen, I understand where you're coming from. Right? That's not technically empathy, but like it's also sympathy. Verbal sympathy is not what I have a problem with. I have a problem with visual sympathy, where you with your face and your face of concern, not even sympathy, bro. It's
makes
pity.
Sense.
You know, like it's pity. I mean, what, like, just an experience from my life, and I hope that this is something that you all relate to. If someone's listening to you and those faces of like, oh my God, that's so sad. Oh my God. I'm trying to verbalize my face expressions because it's so hard. But try your best not to do that. Like, keep neutral face expressions when someone is talking to you, when someone is conveying pain to you, when someone is talking about something someone else did to their life. I felt the concept of listening with neutrality and listening to their experience as raw as it is the most precious thing that you could give to someone besides those stupid ass face expressions.
Right.
Face expressions. So that's what we have for today. In the end, just to conclude, Yashna, would you recommend that people read this
book? Definitely.
Or not?
If there are two types of people. Probably you know the importance of body language and you're probably going to be like me who's already read a lot about body language, and then they're going to read this book. So that's when you'll find a lot of situations where this is quite obvious, this is common sense. And there's the other set of people who are probably clueless of how to act in a situation, how you behave in a situation and how you respond to someone in the situation. And both type of readers can read this book, and I highly recommend this book, especially because it's in layman terms and you can understand what that person is telling, and they're giving you brilliant examples. So I feel like definitely they should read this book.
All right. So so we're coming to the end of our podcast today. We really hope you liked this version of our book reviews. We are going to be doing this every month. I think next month I will be leading a book. I don't know which book right now, but I've like around a month to decide. So we hope you guys really liked this series, and let's finish up this podcast.
Thank you all for joining us today. We would love to hear your thoughts and opinions on today's episode, and since we're also new at this, we welcome feedback and constructive criticism.
Please feel free to email us at theworthofouropinion@gmail.com. And since Yashna always tells me to spell it out, it's theworthofouropinion@gmail.com. If you have any questions or ideas that you would like us to answer or cover in the next episode, or if you have book recommendations that you would love for us to check out, do send us an email about that as well. We post podcasts on the 10th, 20th, and 30th of every month, so we'll see you then. Bye.
Bye.